What the fuck? Well, it's episode 11 of Dead FM, and yeah, the news is exploding this episode with more of,
I'm bacon.
Yeah. It's episode 11.
I'm bacon. I'm bacon.
You've spent your whole life working towards a comfortable lifestyle to enjoy in your golden years. But no matter how hard you work, there's one old adage that hangs on the lips of every Jackson, Grant, and Franklin you save. You can't take it with you. No matter how well off you are in this world, we all have a zero balance in the next. But what if I were to tell you now you can take it with you? Just think of how much more confident you'll be in your twilight years when you have the peace of mind that all your earnings will be there for you on the other side. We here at the law offices of Pilfer, Swindle, and Jones have developed a way to wire your money to any afterlife of your choosing. Imagine being the one that has it made in heaven, is prosperous in paradise, or even the high roller in hell. Just simply call one of our law offices and have your accounting and routing number handy, and we'll take care of the rest. We'll transfer all of your savings to your specified Great Beyond account, or GBA, in 5 to 7 business days after you draw your last breath. We've never had a dissatisfied client. Extra fees and charges may apply to more widely regarded fictitious afterlives such as Stovacor, the Grey Havens, or that trippy place in the film Beetlejuice. Call today. Se habla español.
And here's the news. House Rules DVDs. They are in replication. I have paid for them. They should be showing up. Patches are in, and I believe t-shirts are coming. They might have shown up. Chris Odie, I haven't talked to him. I have no idea. But that's what's going on with House Rules. We should be shipping shortly.
Wait, Don, you call that news? Look, hey, aren't we talking about doing a Gamer's pilot and a Demon Hunter's pilot? Like, where's that?
In the studio with us is Chris Dupenthaler, here to heckle me.
Howdy.
Yeah, so this is the largest Kickstarter of the year, really, that we're going to be participating in that I know of. Hopefully.
Yeah, but it's also gamers.
It's gamers. Like, not just gamers, but original gamers.
And Demon Hunters. Look, we haven't done a Demon Hunters movie or, like, thing since, like, fall.
Right. Yeah. Don't mind the bird in the background. Or the girl in the background. Studio hey, look. Also- I record where I can, all right? Pilot season. This is a big, big deal. We've got 4 of them, 4 shows coming up. They're going to be about 10 episode or 10 minutes a piece. And so the shows are Gamers, the series. Now, this one's created by Ben Dobbins, based on, of course, Matt Vansell's original The Gamers, starring, like, you.
We're talking the.
The Gamers.
Like, not... A Gamers
no.
movie, not
no
something else.
This
We're
is
talking
the original Gamers. We came first. We were there. We were there first. We have the t-shirts. And, you know, this series is going to answer the question, what happened to Rogar the Barbarian and New Moon and Nimble and Ambrose?
Magellan!
From the original Gamers. So we recorded a read-through of the script, and we're going to play a clip for you here. Exterior Tacoma Courthouse. Day. Nimble, 30s, sharply dressed, keen-eyed, escorts Rogar down the steps. Rogar wears a cheap, ill-fitting suit.
Explain to me again these 3 strikes and why I must avoid them.
Imagine that the king has 3 apples.
Which king?
Any king.
King Aratimus. He died nobly in the siege of Marathor and at my hand.
And his treasures died, and his treasure chambers died nobly at mine.
Hmm.
Nimble steals a wallet from a passing police officer.
Shall we dine?
Into your diner, later. Nimble and Rogar sit in a corridor, eating.
So, the king has 3 apples.
But he's dead.
This is before he died. The king has 3 apples, but I want an apple, so I steal one. But the king's guards catch me.
Then I slay them and rescue you.
No.
No?
No. Because the king's law says that I shall receive a warning if I steal an apple. So they let me go and say not to do it again.
So I don't slay the guards?
Not yet. Then I steal a second apple. and they catch me a second time.
Impossible! A thief of your skill would learn the first after the first theft and change his tactics to...
But they install evil new traps, meant to harm honest thieves like me, so I am caught. And the king warns me again that if I steal a third apple, he will chain me to the deepest pit of his darkest dungeon. And then he lets me go with a warning.
So you, a master thief, will heed the weak king's empty warning and not steal the third apple?
I shall employ my every skill and not get caught the next time. And that is how three strikes work.
Don't let them catch you stealing the third apple.
And don't attack untrained peasants play-acting at battle in the city park.
Rogar buries his head in his arms with a loud thump.
I do not understand this world. I want to go home.
So how much ass does that kick?
How many asses?
At least two. There's also going to be Mirror Game. This is this one comes out of Oregon, and it's a show. All I can describe it is The Goonies meets H.P. Lovecraft. So it is, you know, Arkham Horror type things with a group of kids, and I just want to fund the hell out of that one because I want to see it. It sounds awesome. Demon Hunters Red Tape. This is another one that kicks all the asses. I am so excited about this. Christian Doyle, who you know from our various gamers movies, well, he was a huge Dead Gentleman fan well before we got him on to be a cast member, and his first love of our stuff is Demon Hunters, and so he has had an idea for a show, originally called the Yoda Initiative, or Iota Initiative. It's Greek, so it's hard to pronounce. Which is kind of why we went away from that as a title, too.
Hey, so Don, since you've told us nothing about what this show really is, what's this show about?
So it's demon hunters in all the world of hunting demons, like monsters and demons are real, except that the cast, the main character, works for the HR department of the demon hunters. And so it's sort of like The Office meets Supernatural. It's like, you know, everyone still has the dead end job. And Christian wanted to explore what, well, fuck it. Let Christian tell you what it's about.
Hi, my name is Christian Doyle, and I am the creator of Demon Hunters Red Tape. If you're not familiar with the Demon Hunters universe, first of all, you're missing out. But second of all, you don't have to know anything. You know, the backstory is there plain as day, and it doesn't really matter. It's about a supernatural organization that has the same problems that you do working in a cubicle. You know, new policies and procedures are being put down. They're becoming more supernatural friendly instead of just stomping demons. And these people have to deal in a very corporate way with the changing times, and they have to either change with them or fall by the wayside. And that's a big theme of Red Tape, is changing with the times, even though it may not be what you want to do. Demon Hunters spoke to me on a level that none of the other Dead Gentleman productions in the past had before, because the characters seemed so relatable. Like, they were really just guys stuck in a dead-end job, but that dead-end job was a lot more exciting than my life. I wanted to bring that flavor to Demon Hunters Red Tape. So it plays out like an office comedy where most of the characters are supernatural beings from another world. That's not right. They're not supernatural beings from another world. They're supernatural beings from this world. You know, it happens in a world where the strange and unusual are everyday occurrences. Everything that we've ever heard of and believed in was not only possible but might live next door to you. And regular people didn't know about it. And here is this organization in the middle of it all, just trying to hold back the wave of evil and darkness that really is lurking just around the corner. These guys have it really rough. And I thought, what would their HR department look like?
Yeah, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah, but where's my stapler?
What model of stapler is it?
Swing line.
That's right. So then we have Brass, and Brass is sort of, I guess you would call it steampunk, right? It's the 19th century with the clockworks and, yeah, so I guess that's steampunk.
You just pretty much described steampunk.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. I am affirmed in my steampunk-iness.
Hey, is this show about steampunk?
Sort of. I'm getting to that. In a roundabout way. Shutting up now. All right. So, Brass, which I don't know much about other than it's steampunk, 19th century time travelers, they travel following their arch nemesis to modern day in our world. And they believe that the villain has won and our world is their, like, sort of apocalypse world.
Do you think in the steampunk world that there's people who, like to do costumes that look like what we go to work in?
Yeah, I think that's kind of the joke. Yeah, I think that would be funny. So there's that's Brass. So that's four shows that we're going to be kickstarting, like, in a week or so. I don't even know. We have a campaign out there right now, pilotseason.zombieorpheus.com. You can check it out. You can sign up to get, to hear it first when it finally launches. Asking price for this Kickstarter is $150,000. We're going $150,000 to fund four shows. This is only the first episode. After that, the plan is that you will have a chance to decide which ones you really like. We'll have a page where you can vote with your promised dollars. And when we hit a certain amount, then we'll go ahead and launch a Kickstarter for that show, fund it, and hoorah, here we go.
Anyway, who wants hookers?
Ooh.
Hey-o.
Hey, Scott, we got any questions out there?
Why, yes, we do, Don. Thank you very much for asking. I believe all these questions come in from Matthew Hunt. He asks, how is the Netflix, Hulu, Amazon distribution going? I'll let someone more knowledgeable answer that.
We have uploaded the assets. We are closer than ever. So we're really hoping that that's going to happen really soon. We'll keep you updated and stay tuned.
With the upcoming pilot season and Darkness Rising Blu-ray Kickstarters, will we see red cards making a return as pledge rewards or add-ons? I'm thinking they could be used for any Hat Trick Pony or Gamers Live events. Well, that's a good idea. And I'm going to let someone more knowledgeable answer that question.
Let's have someone more knowledgeable answer that question.
The third question is, has Ben Dobbins actually listened to the podcasts yet? I'll let someone more knowledgeable answer that.
Ben Dobbins listened to Dead FM? No. He doesn't listen to podcasts.
Who listens to podcasts?
Question 4. Will there be a mound of Dead Bards Kickstarter soon, or has that idea been abandoned? Wait, what? A mound of Dead Bards Kickstarter? Why, what is that in reference to? Why don't I know what that is? I know that we did have a mound of Dead Bards Mini. I'm staring at a lovely one that a fan painted for me. Well, yeah, I don't know anything about a Kickstarter, but I'm all about that.
Yeah, you're all about that, but I too don't know anything about a Mound of Dead Bards Kickstarter. I would go with you, Scott. I would assume that would be about a Kickstarter to make the minis again. I don't know. I have no idea.
Or maybe it's a mound of actual dead bards.
Of actual dead bards?
Do you have any bards out there that are wanting to volunteer?
You have to die.
But you get a mound.
Yeah, we can throw you on the mound.
Question 5. Is Hat Trick Pony going to be doing other shows independent of the Patreon pledge level? Well, again, I'm going to let someone more knowledgeable answer that question.
Let's have someone more knowledgeable answer that question.
Question 6. I've really enjoyed the music content on Dead FM. The original compositions and parodies are brilliant, and the interviews with the artists themselves are great. What are the chances of making a regular feature of it? Well, I'd say the chances are pretty good, but as always, I'm going to let someone more knowledgeable answer that question.
The music content is awesome. We want to do more of it. It's a lot more work. We do have people working on other stuff, though. I know Tiffany Pike is working on a few songs. One of them I've wrote some lyrics to. And yeah, so it's in the works. It's just, it takes a lot.
Question 7. How close are the Demon Hunter RPG rules to live playtesting? Well, I believe last month there was a Google Hangout game of the Demon Hunter RPG with the new rules in place, but I was not able to be in attendance for that, so I don't know for sure. You got it. I'm going to let someone more knowledgeable answer that question.
Yes, Matthew Hunt. The Demon Hunters role-playing game is now live for playtesting. In fact, you should have a copy by now. I realize that you wrote that question a month ago, but still, geez, foreshadowing. Can't you figure it out? You're from the Land Down Under. You already have figured this out. Like, you're already living tomorrow anyway, so you should have known that. Regarding the role-playing game, the writing is being turned in by the volumes right now, and primarily that's Jimmy McMichael. He has far exceeded his word count budget, like, by almost double. So I gotta figure that out. We have expanded our sort of pool of artists, and we're getting some amazing stuff. We're gonna have some great art in this book. Checking in with the timelines, it does kind of look like that the print schedule that I originally, well, so I didn't realize how long printing actually takes. I thought maybe like a month would be sufficient, and turns out it's more closer to two.
And I like setting individual characters on a printing press?
Apparently. And so it takes a bit longer to print that many books than I expected. I didn't realize. And so that's pushing us up into a crunch that I didn't expect, and so I don't know that we'll have the deluxe books ready for Gen Con. Also doesn't help that Gen Con is like 2 weeks early this year, which I don't understand.
Ridiculous.
But, so I have a backup plan. I have researched and put into place, we are going to do a pre-release Gen Con edition of the book. It's going to be a print-on-demand version, and the backers, I've already cleared it with the backers, and they're on board. And actually, I gotta say, I am so humbled by the back. Go ahead.
And the backers are going to have a digital copy.
Well, they'll have the digital copy, and they'll also get.
That doesn't have to be typeset, right?
Right. Yeah, the PDF will be done, and the PDF will be distributed. No problems there. And in fact, probably what will happen is that, and I think this is one of the reasons why I did this. We will have the print on demand version over at DriveThruRPG. And that's probably going to be ready before the deluxe edition will be out. So you could probably order that. If you're a backer, you can order that at cost. It's already included in your package. You can buy that ability on the pre-order site. I think it's $5, and you can buy it as close to cost as possible. And the backers are already getting, if they purchase it, they can get the Gen Con pre-release edition at cost as well. So
for the digital copy, yeah. How do they typeset the ones and zeros?
I have to ask my layout guy on that one, because right. I don't do layout. So we're gonna have stuff to sell at Gen Con come hell or high water, and I'm excited about that. So but in the meantime, we have the playtesting packet. It's out there. I have heard from practically no one about how it's going. I've got very little in the way of questions back. And so you folks need to challenge us on that and tell us how it's going.
How's it going?
Tell us how it's like. What's working? What's not? How do you like the adventure? Would you know? Do you see yourself doing others? That sort of thing. I want to hear about that.
And those are the answers for the questions for this episode. Thanks to all those who are more knowledgeable than me in supplying all of those wonderful, witty, banterific, and whatever else they were, answers to the proposed questions. Once again, Scott C. Brown, signing off. Dead FM is directed by Don Early.
Contributors to Dead FM are Scott C. Brown, Andy Doporowski, Christian Doyle, Chris Dupenthaler, Don Early, Brian Lewis, Jimmy McMichael, Tiffany Pike, Matt Vansel, Beau Pritchard, Emily Shimkus, and Matt Shimkus. Dead FM theme song High Road is written by Sean Bendixson, performed by the Bendixson Brothers, and arranged by Steve Wolbrecht. Dead FM is copyright 2015, Dead Gentleman Productions, LLC, all rights reserved.
Don't forget to subscribe to Dead FM on iTunes, Stitcher, or however the hell else you get your podcasts. I'm a hound dog, don't you know? I'm climbing on the water plane, guess I can't complain. I'm feeling up so low. Goodbye.